Hey guys, today's episode of Sports Spectrum's podcast with Jeff Allen is presented by Compassion International and their Fill the Stadium initiative. Due to COVID-19, 70,000 kids and their families in Compassion programs have been stuck without a sponsorship and need your urgent support. 70,000 is also the capacity of an average NFL stadium, and that's where our pro athlete friends and Compassion have come together to stand in the gap for these 70,000 kids and helping release them and their families from poverty. To learn more and to donate, this is a stadium that can't remain empty. Check out fillthestadium.com today and help us release these children and their family from poverty. fillthestadium.com.
Welcome to Sports Spectrum, where we bring Jesus back into the conversation. Here's your host, former ESPN producer, Jason Romano.
And we're so glad to have you here joining us on the show today. This is the Sports Spectrum podcast. I'm Jason Romano, and we got a great conversation coming up with Jeff Allen. He is the director of sports medicine at the University of Alabama. Six national championships since he arrived at Alabama in 2007. It's college football time. It's wonderful to have football back, and it's going to be great to have this conversation with Jeff Allen to take us inside what it takes to be the head athletic football trainer for the University of Alabama. Before we get to that conversation, just want to tell you a little bit about Sports Spectrum and our brand new football show. It's called Sports Spectrum's Weekly Slant. It is available every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern here on Sports Spectrum's channels, our sportspectrum.com website, our YouTube page, and our Facebook page. This is a weekly football show. If you love football, if you love faith, if you love Jesus, this is the show to tune in and check out every single week. Again, Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern at sportspectrum.com and on our Facebook and YouTube channels. You can check out Sports Spectrum's Weekly Slant. And we've got a couple hosts who are going to be joining me on this show, including Fox Sports' Brock Huard. You've heard Brock on a couple of Sports Spectrum shows, as well as Jade McCarthy, the former SportsCenter anchor at ESPN. And Jade has also been participating in a few of these Sports Spectrum podcasts as well. So Jade and Brock and myself are all going to be taking part in this new football show every single week, Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern at sportspectrum.com and on our Facebook and YouTube channels, Sports Spectrum's Weekly Slant. Make sure you tune in and check it out at sportspectrum.com. All right, let's get to our conversation with Jeff Allen, Alabama's head athletic football trainer and director of sports medicine. He's joining us here today on Sports Spectrum. Hey, Jeff, welcome to Sports Spectrum.
Thank you, Jason. I'm honored to be on here. I appreciate you allowing me to be on. I apologize for the casual attire. We're in the middle of football season, and this is kind of the way that I dress every day. So it's
you should dress like that all the time for our conversation. Never dress up for a podcast, Jeff. That's my motto.
Good point. Good
Absolutely. Point. Well, let's start with this. Let's start with your position at Alabama and what it entails. Tell us about the role that you have.
Yeah, I think you gave my fancy title there. I don't know if I could get it right again, but I think you summed it up at the end. I am the head athletic trainer for the university. I'm the director of sports medicine. So I'm very fortunate to have a great staff of athletic trainers working with me across the board with all of our sports. We've got a ton of sports here, and we've got 27 athletic trainers that take care of them. So I oversee all of them. And in particular, I really focus a lot of my day, almost all of my day, on taking care of football. So I obviously serve as the director of sports medicine, but also as the head athletic trainer for football.
So I've heard it said you're the guy that everybody wants to see, but at the same time, the guy that nobody wants to see. Is that kind of an accurate assessment of your role?
That's a good point. That's a really good way to put it. And it's kind of the way that whenever I'm talking to a group, especially a group of fans, or if I go speak somewhere, I know I'm the last guy you want to see run on the field. So that's a very accurate way to put it. But on the same hand, hopefully I'm adding some value and taking care of our guys and getting them ready to go.
So we're in the middle of a college football season, or not maybe in the middle, but it started as we're releasing this episode. Can you kind of take me through what a typical day has looked like for you and maybe the week leading up to game day? What does that look like for you each and every day? I'm sure it's probably different specific things that you have to look at and worry about each day as you get closer to game day.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it. I mean, I think my week kind of starts on a Sunday, really after a ball game. So on a Sunday, we will come in usually around 12:30 or 1 is when we will start most of our treatments and our evaluations on the guys that have played the previous day. And quite honestly, we really already know what we're dealing with because hopefully we've done a good job after the game evaluating everybody and even doing MRIs and x-rays either Saturday after the game or certainly on Sunday morning. So really when we get here Sunday around 12:30, we kind of know what's on the table for us and what we're dealing with. And then the process kind of begins, you know, in terms of hopefully getting guys ready to play from that Sunday all the way through till the next Saturday afternoon. And, you know, each day is a little bit different based on what we're doing in practice. But the general days, once we get into Monday, you know, we usually get in somewhere around 6:30, 7 o'clock, depending on what we have from a treatment perspective. And we do treatments around the player schedules. A lot of times they have lifting that they have to complete with our strength staff. So the players are in and out based on their class schedule right now. And then really we get cranked up really heavily in the afternoon. That 12 to 2 period is kind of our big window for a lot of treatments, a lot of pre-practice preparation. And at 2 o'clock, they go into meetings. And usually around 3:30, we are on the field and on the field till about 5:30, give or take. Come off the field, that usually involves more treatment, more rehab, doctor evaluations, a variety of different things that we'll be doing. And that's pretty structured all the way, especially Monday through Thursday. Friday's a little bit lighter load. Hopefully we've got guys turned around and kind of ready to go for Saturday. So the great thing about Alabama and working for Coach Saban is he is incredibly structured, incredibly organized and routine. And I tell people all the time, if you'll give me a day, any day during the calendar year, I can almost tell you to the minute what's going to be going on and what we're going to be doing.
Well, that's part of the success, right? He's also very intentional in everything that he does, right? And I think when you watch him from afar, like I have, you know, the proof is in the pudding. You can say anything you want. What works for different people is always, you know, whatever works for them. But, you know, when you have how many titles since you've been there? 6. Am I right on that since you've come?
Yes, sir. We've been very fortunate and had 6 national championships since we've been here. Played for it, I think, 8 times and fortunate to win it 6. But he's won it a total of 7. He had one at LSU before he came to Alabama. So it's been quite a ride.
Absolutely amazing. Now, I know before you were a trainer, you were a football player, I read way back in the day. Is that right?
I would use that term very loosely, Jason. Okay.
All right. You were a football player.
I played football. Yeah. I was on the team. Okay. Yeah. I played football in high school and enjoyed my time doing that. And, you know, like a lot of us, you grow up playing sports and enjoying sports and, you know, enjoyed my time. I'm from originally from the Atlanta area. I grew up in Marietta, Georgia. I went to North Cobb High School and played football there, or I was on the team for a few years there, but it was a great experience for me. And really, when I look back on that time, you know, gave me at least some idea of what these guys are going through. Clearly, that's not college football, but you know what they're dealing with and what they're going through.
At what time, or at what point, I should say, did you realize that God was directing your steps into this world of athletics as a trainer? At what point did that take place?
You know, it's funny when you ask that question, because I can remember in my brain and my heart, I should say, you know, God stirring me with something in the medical field. I remember distinctly, like I couldn't define, hey, you know, when I was probably a sophomore or junior in high school, this is what I want to do. But I kind of knew I wanted to do something in medicine. And then, you know, the summer before my senior year, I went to a football camp at the University of Tennessee. That's probably not something I say too loudly around Alabama with our great rivalry we have with Tennessee. But sure. I went to a camp at Tennessee, the Johnny Majors football camp. And I actually tore my ACL there at that camp. And that's really what spurred my interest in athletic training and sports medicine, because When I was injured, I was immediately taken care of by their athletic training staff, and especially their longtime athletic trainer there, Tim Caron. He's since passed away several years ago, but he was such a legend in our profession. And he took wonderful care of me for the next 2 days while I was there before I went home. And that's really when it clicked with me. And I knew from there that I wanted to learn more about the profession, and I wanted to see what it was all about. And there's no doubt in my mind that God used that event in my life to open up this door for me and to push me down this path, you know, like he does so often with difficult circumstances in our life. You know, he will use those difficult moments, you know, for him and to put us where he wants us to be.
Let's take a quick break from our Sports Spectrum podcast conversation to tell you a little bit more about our partners and sponsors, Compassion International, the most trusted child development ministry in the world. Compassion is about releasing kids from poverty in Jesus' name. And over the last year and a half, it's been a very tough go for all of us during this pandemic. But due to COVID-19, 70,000 kids and their families in Compassion programs have been left in dire, dire situations, and they need our urgent support. 70,000 is also the capacity of an average pro football stadium. And so here's what's happening. Compassion has partnered with our pro athlete friends to help fill the stadium, to fill a stadium worth of children in need, 70,000 kids in need. Now, you can go to fillthestadium.com right now to learn more and to donate and help these kids and their families during these critical next few months. Every donation helps fill a seat toward a year of needed support, talking about things like essential food, nutritional supplements, hygiene solutions, and medical screenings for COVID-19. Think about that. You can make this difference right now in a kid and their family's life by donating through Compassion at fillthestadium.com. And so far, we've filled over 60,000 seats. Our goal is to help 70,000 kids, and you and I can partner right now with Compassion and make that a reality. Go to fillthestadium.com to learn more and donate today. fillthestadium.com.
Jeff Allen is our guest here on Sports Spectrum. He's the director of sports medicine at Alabama and their head athletic football trainer. So we talked about God ordering your steps into becoming a football trainer, but when does God enter the picture for you, right? When did you realize that he had to be the most important thing in your life? Tell us your Jesus story, if you would.
Jesus story. I love it. Yeah. Well, yeah. I was very, very blessed to grow up with wonderful Christian parents, grandparents that, you know, kept me in church for as long as I can ever remember, you know, back home in Marietta at Burnt Hickory Baptist Church, where my parents still attend. And, you know, growing up in that environment, you know, you look back on that and you remember the people who had such a positive impact on you and, you know, and obviously on me. I can just remember them so, so well. And, you know, just growing up that way, you know, I obviously believed in God, trusted God, you know, and again, I think it's all of us on our faith journey. You know, it's one thing to, you know, acknowledge there's a God, and it's a whole different deal to have a true relationship with Jesus Christ. And
that's right.
You know, and that happened with me really when I was at a young age. I came to that realization. And I think, you know, your question about, you know, when did you realize that, you know, that God was going to need to be the center of your life? I think that's something that for me, I have to remember that every single day. You know, there was obviously a moment, a salvation moment, if you will. But I think there are moments every day where I have to recenter myself and remind myself of what really matters and why you're doing what you're doing. And it's really easy, I think, even as believers, to forget that.
Was there a moment as you got older when you had to make that faith your own, right? Because I talk to people a lot. And I mean, I did not grow up in a Christian household, even though I went to church as a kid. It was kind of just checking some boxes. But as I got older, I think I was 26 or 27 when it started to click. And really, it was into my 30s where I was growing and understanding that, oh, this isn't just, you know, a part of my life. This has to be you know, a surrender, if you will, to who God says he is and who his son is in Christ. Was there a moment for you? Like, was there a time in college or a time as you got older that this relationship with the Lord had to become Jeff Allen's and not anybody else's?
It's a great question. I think there've been honestly several moments, a lot of those moments. I would say the one moment though, was just what I was talking about earlier, with the knee injury. That was kind of a wake up call to me, you know, where I think God, I didn't know it at the time. It was a difficult situation for me, you know, going through that. I mean, I knew I was realistic. I knew I was not going to go play college football and I wasn't going to do that. I totally understood that, but I was looking forward to my senior year with my buddies that I'd grown up with. Right. And then to have that taken away from me, you know, it made me like, come on, God, what's going on here? Why this? Why me? Yeah. You know, like we all do. And I still do with certain situations. And, but that moment kind of, shaped me, to say the least, professionally, but I would say also spiritually, because through that, I didn't know it at the time, but looking back on it, I can see that God started opening doors. And that's when I think I realized, to your point, you know, what this is really about and how God really works and how he moves.
What was that progression like as a follower of Christ entering into this work that you do, and even maybe since you came to Alabama, and how God kind of guides you, how your faith guides you in the work that you're in your profession?
Well, it's so easy. I think I alluded to it earlier. I don't care what profession you're in. You know, there's a reason that God has us where we're at and in the place that we're at. And too many times we get caught up in the agenda and our quote unquote job description, which we obviously have to do our job.
Of course.
But there are other reasons that we're there for as well. And that's to impact other people. And, you know, sometimes I'm good at it. Sometimes I'm not good at it because I forget that part of it, so to speak. And that's where, you know, staying daily focused on him reminds me, hey, you know, it's more than just knees and shoulders and elbows and ankles. You know, I've hopefully are can help somebody and help an athlete, help a kid and have an impact on them. But I think it's a daily reminder, you know, for sure. You know, I don't know. I don't want to take our time here, but one moment in particular for me, you know, I think when you work in athletics, I don't care what capacity you're in, you know, your ultimate goal is to win a championship and be involved with a championship team. And that's what all of us want to do. And, you know, I knew when I came to Alabama, you know, I was like, wow, okay, I'm going to work at the University of Alabama. You know, I'm going to work for this coach named Nick Saban, who's got a reputation of winning championships. He's got a reputation as an excellent coach. And I'm like, okay, here we go. You know, I'm going to, you know, get an opportunity, hopefully, to win a national championship. And because that doesn't happen everywhere, you know, but I knew when I came here, okay, this can happen. This is realistic. And sure enough, the third year that we are here, Coach Saban's third season, we beat Texas in the Rose Bowl, and it was an unbelievable experience. And, you know, that's the epitome of college football, is to play a great program like Texas in the Rose Bowl for the national championship. And yeah. I'll never forget though, Jason, we won that game, right? And I, you know, you do the whole thing after the game, the teams on the field, the confetti, all that, and everybody celebrating. It was a special, special moment. But literally 45 minutes, maybe an hour after the game, we're in the locker room and I'm looking around and I see the managers are packing everything up. You know, my crew, we're getting all of our medical equipment, packing up. The players are changing, getting dressed, getting on the bus. And I looked around and I'm like, it's just like any other game, you know, and a moment kind of hit me. I'm like, is that it? Is that all there was? You know, we just won the national championship and it kind of feels like a normal game. And I don't want to minimize that accomplishment. I'll never forget it. But I think God used that to show me, you know, sometimes, Jeff, I'm going to give you what you think you need to show you it's really not what you need. And that moment's always stuck out to me.
Has that helped you with the next? It's almost like, you know, you're spoiled in the sense that you got six national championships. Has that helped you in the sense of seeing, okay, I've got, you know, this other opportunity. I think it was 2011, 2012, 15, 17, this past season in 2020. And just understanding, as great as that is and as wonderful as it is when you go to Tuscaloosa and it's title town, just like if you're going to Green Bay, Wisconsin in the NFL, that it's still just a game when it really comes down to things that really matter.
It definitely has helped me, and it's given me a different perspective, and it's really made a difference for me in my life. And I have loved all the other times that we've won it, and I
Sure.
hope we get to have some more opportunities to do it again. But I probably enjoyed them on a different level, Jason. I probably have, and just appreciated them for what they were, but also realizing that it's not the be all end all. I think too many times we get caught up in the things of this world. Even as believers, we do that, and I think many, many times it ends up not being what we thought it was going to be. And that moment taught me that in the Rose Bowl. I remember that vividly.
Was there a time, because you alluded to this earlier, and I thought it was really an interesting point that you made, that you said, okay, I'm here for something bigger than football, right? God has placed me here for a purpose, to serve others, to help others. Is there another time? And I like hearing about stories, right? Or moments. And I know I'm asking a lot of moment type questions, but I think they're important because there's usually a time when you recognize in your work place. And I worked at ESPN for many years, and I had a couple of those moments where I said, oh, I'm not here today to be a producer or just to work, on a sports center show or whatever what might have been. I'm here for something bigger, and today is that day for that bigger to kind of be unveiled. Have you had that with you, whether you recognize, whether it's with a player or a coach, it's like, oh, I'm here today for
For
this
this.
reason that God has placed me here, not just to be the athletic trainer.
No, I definitely have. And a lot of times you don't know you're in that moment until you look back on it and reflect on it. And, I can think of, many issues with players, non-medical issues, not even an injury or something, where the player, would seek me out or come to me and want to talk to me about issues that are things that are going on in their life that may not be even related to anything that I do with them. But what I have learned over the years as I've grown and matured is there's a reason God put that person in my office, that I cross paths with them. And, I've always tried, and I fail at it all the time, but don't ignore the prompting of the Holy Spirit, so to speak. When you know that God wants you to speak to someone, God is directing you to talk to someone about something, or someone comes to you with something, that's not accidental. I think we so many times, oh, what a coincidence that was. I don't think that things are coincidental. I think they're orchestrated by our Creator. And I think when you remember that and you keep that in the back of your head, you're looking out for those divine moments, if you will. And I've gotten better at doing that.
As we wind down, I'd love to hear your favorite Nick Saban story, because you came in with him, like you said, in 2007. Now you've been here 14 years, 15th season, I believe this is, if I'm doing my math correct. So you have to tell us a Nick Saban story.
Well, I've got a ton of them. We probably need to have a whole nother podcast
That'll
here.
be another podcast. That's right.
That's right. But no, it's been an unbelievable honor for me, and a blessing, to be here with him. And to work with him and for him for the last 15 years. I came here with him in 2007, had the opportunity, interviewed with him, and I just there's so many things over the years. One story I'll never forget, and because it really had an impact on me when I interviewed with him. Everybody's got a perception of how a coach is going to be or how a person is going to be, and a lot of times the perceptions of coaches are determined by what they see on TV, what people see on TV, and I sat in his office and we talked about, he asked me questions about my family, my wife, my daughter. He asked me questions about where I grew up. He talked about where he grew up. And I'm like, no, this is not the guy that I've seen on television many, many times, And then near the end of it, we talked about a lot of, we talked about some medical things, but I'll never forget at the end of it, he looked at me and he said, if I hire you, and he pointed at me, said, if I hire you, I want my players taken care of the right way. And I can still see him pointing at me, sitting there on his couch. And I'm like, you know what? I can do that, coach. I can do that. Absolutely. I'll do that. And that's one. There have been many other special moments and special times, golly, that's that kind of run together in my head. And one thing I don't, when I look back on when all this is over, hopefully we've got several more years with him, but when it is, I know I'll reflect and remember all those special times with him. And, like one thing that does come to my mind, because it just happened so recently, is this year after we won the national championship, actually rode back to the hotel with him the night of the game. We left the stadium and we rode back to the hotel, and the state troopers are taking him back, and I jumped in the car with him, and we're about halfway back to the hotel, and we're talking a little bit, and things got a little quiet, and he looked over at me and he said, "Man, we just won the national championship." And I'm like, "Yes, sir, we did, coach. We just won the national championship." You know, it was just surreal to hear him say that. But I just see how much he values, you know, the players, giving them a great experience, hopefully coaching them and teaching them in a way that is going to add value to their life, whether they play football after they're done at Alabama or not. I see that part of him that a lot of times doesn't get shown on TV, and people miss that. I think they miss that with a lot of coaches, but when you really break it down with most of the coaches, I think that are out there, I mean, clearly they're out there to win. Don't get me wrong. That's an incredibly important part of everything that they all do. But a lot of them, they really put a lot of stock into impacting kids. And I see it with him, and it's been an honor to watch him do it.
Man, that's such a cool story, and such a great thing to hear from who I think now has entered into being the best college football coach there ever has been. And that's really good to hear. I think a little behind the scenes on the man that he is and the person that he is. Last year, I just got two more questions for you, but sure. Last year must have been so incredible. And even this year too, a little bit. I mean, the pandemic hasn't gone away. Yeah. It's a little different with vaccines and things like that, but, and we know a little bit more, but last year must have been so incredibly challenging from your perspective as the director of sports medicine and the role that you have to play, in the case of a guy being around someone who has COVID and, having to, you know, quarantine and all of these things. I mean, I think coach had it too at one point last season and had to go through that. That must have been incredibly challenging for you. Unlike any year I'm imagining you've ever been a part of.
No, unlike any year I think anybody in athletics in the world obviously has ever been a part of, but certainly sure. With what we do, because, you know, we were trying, I think, to pull something off that a lot of people at first, myself included, early on, didn't think we were going to be able to do. And I think to everybody's credit, especially the leadership positions at the NCAA, and I saw it definitely in our conference with the unbelievable leadership at our conference with Greg Sankey as our commissioner, and just the way that those folks led and how they had everything organized and well thought out. It was really a lesson in leadership, taught me a lot watching people in those positions make critical decisions in a very well thought out, researched way that really allowed us to play. But it was a surreal year. And I tell everybody, we're definitely, I mean, this year is obviously a lot better than we were last year, but we're still in the middle of it, but nowhere near like we were last year, thanks to the vaccine and other things that have helped us for sure. But it's still a challenge. But last year was unlike anything else. And I've told people, look, if we get through this, I will never think I'm busy ever again, because I saw what busy was. But but that made last year's title just incredibly special and sweet. And you know, after it was over, to look back and see what that group of kids accomplished under the conditions that they had to do it under, and just their sacrifices, something you'll never ever forget.
Yeah, it was absolutely incredible. And as we came into 2021, as I wind down and ask you this final question, I was doing a little research, just a little digging. I like to do that when I'm doing a podcast with who I'm talking to. And I understand this was year 50 for Jeff Allen on this earth, yeah, right? He turned the big 5-0 back in April. Right. So when you were reflecting on that, right? When you were, okay, I'm here at 50, I'm going to be there in a couple of years. So I'm only a couple of years behind you. But what's the great lesson, or maybe the lessons that God has kind of been teaching you and showing you as you reflect now, being 50 years old and kind of where God has brought you and where you are today? What's the great lesson he's been showing you?
I think it probably started for me. I mentioned that Rose Bowl moment, right? You know, I mentioned that a little bit, but really to keep the main thing, okay? And the main things, the main things. I tell people there's three F's in my life, you know, my faith, my family, and football. Yeah. And I want to keep them in that order, right? And I feel like if I do that, that everything's going to be orchestrated and like it should be. You know, when those F's get out of order, especially when football comes before my faith and my family, that's when I find my life is not like it should be. My joy, my peace, my hope, my contentment is not right. You know, mm-hmm. And I think as believers, you know, you realize that, okay, it's because you've got things in your life are out of order. And he's taught me that so many times over the years. And a lot of times we're hard headed, like this table, and we got to learn lessons, and we have to continually learn them. But if I can order my F's correctly, I just find that I'm at a much greater level of peace and contentment. And I think you see that in people's lives, right? They think that they have everything, or they do have, quote unquote, everything that the world says should satisfy them. But yet there still is no joy, no peace, no contentment in their life. And that's a sad existence. And, you know, I know that only through my relationship with Jesus Christ, you know, can I truly find the contentment and the peace and the joy that he wants us to have on this earth. And granted, there are going to be troubled times. God says it very clearly. In this world, you will have trouble, you know, but we also know that he does want us to experience good things in this life. And he puts things in our life for us to do that. And, but those things can't be the main thing. I know I'm rambling here a little bit, but
that's okay.
That's really what he's taught me and continues to teach me.
Yeah. Well, that's really well said. Faith, family, and football, the three F's. Jeff Allen, this has been great. Thank you again for the time. Continued success to you, obviously, in the club. I'm sure it'll be a great year, another great year with Alabama. And hopefully we'll get you back on, and we'll do another podcast on a few other things, we'll say. But appreciate you coming on, and all the best to you.
Thank you, Jason. Love to come back. Thank you very much.
And many thanks to Jeff Allen, Alabama's head athletic football trainer, their director of sports medicine, Nick Saban's right-hand man when it comes to injuries and when it comes to sports medicine. Jeff Allen's been our guest today on Sports Spectrum, and that was a really great conversation, knowing that even in a role like he has, keeping Christ at the center and understanding there's a greater purpose, you can tell Jeff's heart is in that right order with the three F's, as he said, faith, family, and football. And in many ways, that's what Sports Spectrum's about, faith, family, and of course, sports, but in this case, football. And we love football. It's a wonderful time of year. I mentioned in the beginning of the podcast about our new football show. It's called Sports Spectrum's Weekly Slant. It's on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern on sportsspectrum.com and on our Facebook and YouTube channels. That's a show you don't want to miss. And if you can't tune in at 8 on Wednesday nights, 8 Eastern, you can watch it streaming right after that on all of our platforms. And that's a show you're going to want to check out every single week. You know, football and faith, bringing Jesus into the conversation, into the football conversation. That's what the Weekly Slant is going to be. Sports Spectrum's Weekly Slant. Tune in Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on Sports Spectrum. And we appreciate you guys tuning into today's podcast as well. Do us a favor, click subscribe on whatever podcast app you're listening to so that you never miss an episode of Sports Spectrum's podcast. And we got a lot of them, about 3 to 4 a week. So when you click subscribe, it helps you not miss an episode and see who we have coming up, all the different guests that we talk to here on Sports Spectrum, bringing Jesus and keeping Jesus back into the conversation. Thanks for tuning in, guys. We love you all. We hope you'll join us next time here on Sports Spectrum. Have a great rest of your day. Stay safe, and we'll see you next time.